Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. My name is Chris Sharp, and I am your host for this week's highlight show. The Coach and Coordinator Podcast is here to help you lead the next generation of football players. Whether it is a lesson on implementing new schemes, leadership seminars, or ongoing trends in football, our channel is a resource for you. On Monday, we spoke with Tim Delaney, the head coach at South Park High School. Throughout his 12-year tenure, Coach Delaney has built South Park into an annual contender. On this episode preview, hear how Coach Delaney has simplified his terminology to help his players.
If you grabbed a kid from 12 years ago and asked him what 91 was, he'd be able to tell you what 91 meant for us. Do we tweak things? Absolutely. We're no huddle now, whereas opposed to, 12 years ago we huddled. But our terminology, our verbiage is all the same as it's been, offensively, defensively, so even special teams. We've been doing the same thing for a number of years. We might have two running backs instead of one. Last year, ton of 20 personnel. Year we won a state championship, ton of 10 personnel. Those things, you have to mold what you want to do to the kids that you have. Last year, ton of odd front defensively. This year we might be in more of an even front because we don't have as many linebacker kids running around. But everything stays the same. Everybody's name is the same. All the gaps are the same. You still run what you run, but you fit everything around who your kids are. And I think that makes it easy from year to year. I haven't had to base teach our passing game in 12 years. Because the kids teach it to themselves. So a new kid comes in, I don't walk into the gym on the first day of our gym practice and go over all of our route combinations, because the kids that played last year pop up, they do it, and are able to turn around and talk to those guys like, this is what you do. Now, of course, we're talking technique and how we want you to maybe run this route or do this certain thing, but when you stay consistent, the kids are able to talk to the younger kids and teach to themselves, and that is just a ton of ownership on your kids. How much more does your defensive end own that part of the defense when he gets to tell the younger kid, this is what we're doing, this is the call? I think that's been a lot of our success has come from those kind of things.
Tuesday's episode took us inside the wide receiver room with Cornell University's wide receiver coach, Jordan Hogan. Learn how Coach Hogan instills his mantra of win your now with his players and how he handles reps during practice.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously, one-on-ones, eye control, finger quotes, eye control as a receiver coach. But when we get to the 7-on-7, in team, you mess up a route, man. You're messing up a read. You're messing up the timing for the quarterback. And then obviously we get to a team rep. We may be scheming to get you open and you're not performing to the best of your ability. We got to make changes. So the reps are obviously – and I think Coach Archer does a nice job of we're only going to run 11 plays, 11 or 12 plays in Skelly. Even though there may be an extra 30 seconds, we're not going to get do a redo unless, there was a fumble on snap or something terrible happened. But so, again, it always comes back to just, all right, I got to win. We have a saying, you got to win your now. All right, win your now. Be in the moment, right. Win your now. All right, and if we can try to replicate, obviously, practice to a game, that's obviously what our goal is to try to do. And if I can do that with the reps and giving guys two to three reps here, whether it's team or 7-on-7 or 1-on-1s, that's going to help us out.
For special teams coordinator Scott Fountain, he is entering new territory at the University of Arkansas. However, his knowledge of the return game is quite familiar. Tune in to hear how Coach Fountain teaches his unit about setting up and executing their return game.
Yeah, I think when you get to punt return, you got to play fast, and you got to find 11 guys who are going to give great effort. You got to give 10 guys up front that are going to give great effort for that one returner. Now, with all that being said, I'm going to hit on a lot of things today, but if you got a great returner, that solves a lot of your problems. But up front for us, we're always going to talk about the three phases of punt return. It's the start, the battle, and the finish. The start for us, it's what's going to occur at the line of scrimmage. We're going to talk about how we crunch at the line of scrimmage, our stance and how we crunch. The battle is what you're doing in transition from the time the ball is, from the time I've crunched to I've transitioned out and now I'm facing the punt returner. That's what we call the battle. And there's two ways that we crunch. There's two ways that we battle, and then there's three ways that we finish. So what's important about finish? Well, when you're in the battle, we always emphasize peaking the returner so we know how to finish. So what is a finish? There's three things that we can do. We got a trail position finish. We have a finish where it's parallel going down the field. And then we have one where a guy just gets beat and he's got to go find work. And we give names to those. So we always talk about the start, the battle, and the finish. So I go to a meeting, you know, I may ask who I may call my R5, and I'm going to say, hey, R5. I say, his name's Johnny. Johnny, tell me the three things we do in punt return. And he needs to tell me start, battle, and finish. And then I'm going to go, okay, tell me about the start. What are the two types of crunches you get in the start? I'm hoping he tells me ear hole and face plant. Now tell me in battle, what's your two tools you can use? I'm hoping he tells me steel rod, tricep push. And I'm going to say, what do you do now while you're in the battle? I'm hoping he tells me, or he needs to tell me, peak the returner. Why do we peak the returner? He needs to tell me because I got to know how to finish. There's three types of finish. From a trail position, we work a rip through. From a parallel position, we work an arm bar. And if we get beat, we're going to turn around and go find work, which we call MDM, most dangerous man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we teach. That's what we focus on. And we want our punt returner to be a vertical guy. We want to hit it vertically.
With offenses becoming more high-powered, having defensive linemen playing with proper techniques and effort is more important than ever. The University of Miami, Ohio's defensive line coach, E.J. Whitlow, instills his knowledge into his players, and he also emphasizes using leverage and combinations in pass rush moves. Here is a preview of Thursday's episode.
Biggest thing is, you know, you got a lot of same arm, same leg. It's got to be tied together. And as I bring my hips, I want to get skinny, want to reduce my surface area and try to get my hips, like you said, to clear his hips. Because once I get to that sweet point, that's now it makes it difficult for him to recover and try to save the rep as I'm going by.
Coaching up these guys on just that basic pass rush you want to start with, and then the counter moves. Talk us through that.
Like I said, the number one foundation of what we talk about is the speed rush. Everything set up off the speed rush. You got to make the offensive lineman feel that you can run by him before you can get into anything else. But once you got that guy, you know, really kicking out of there, really turning his shoulders, well, now you can take advantage of him being 300-plus pounds trying to flip his hips or stop on a dime. Because we talk about if he's doing the job in front of you, he ain't doing it behind you. So we work a lot on getting the guy running, racing the space, and then countering and coming back underneath and making that guy have to change directions multiple times. You may not get there on the first counter and maybe the second one. Like, you just got to stay active and you got to stay relentless in your pass rush.
With the way you coach your guys, you know, I'm sure it changes as they kind of progress through your program. But what do you feel is, you know, the right amount of moves for, let's say, just an average guy? I mean, there's some elite guys who can do all kinds of stuff. But, you know, what do you want to make sure, like, we got to get you good at this many things in order to be really effective against anybody?
I think you got to have you a primary move that's like your go-to and then a counter off it. And then just be relentless and a high motor guy that's going to keep scratching, clawing, fighting to try to get to the quarterback. But I think if you got a really good primary and a really solid counter off of that, that's all you need in your tube belt.
To close out the week, we invited Eric Corum back onto the show, the Senior Associate Athletic Director for Student Athlete High Performance at the College of William & Mary. Eric Corum has a unique perspective on the practice habits in football, and he recommends that coaches try to replicate game day situations more accurately during game week preparation.
Well, first of all, everybody needs to have a seat at the table when you develop the plan, because it impacts more than just the technical tactical, the physical conditioning, their psychological readiness. So it's called the wisdom of crowds. When you have a bunch of people with different perspectives at the table to poke holes in a situation, you're gonna get a better outcome than one person going back into a corner and saying, well, this is what we're doing today. It doesn't work out very well. So that's the first thing I would say is you need to be willing to be open. Everybody's got to be willing to constructive criticism and disagreement about the process. Second thing is just start with what the game is. So if we know that our team, let's say you're a ground and pound team and you're going to get 65 plays a game, 60 plays a game, and we're going to snap the ball every 35 seconds, and we know that our type of versus the other side of the fence, we're going to try to snap it every 25, whatever. And then we know that we got our average drive is like 6-7 plays, but we got to prepare the guys weeks in advance. Well, we're having series of teams, team periods, we're going 6 maximal effort plays. Guys are going as hard as they can, and then there's 7 minutes between, 8 minutes. Well, how do you fill that time productively? Well, the next group can go, and then you can teach something situational.
Right.
And then so we can go from first down, we can move the field, we can go into a third down scenario, because now you're working on their football intelligence. A lot of times, so scripting that, making sure that over training camp that you're having days where you're accumulating enough plays that are game-like.
Mm-hmm.
I think our scrimmage days need to be longer. So the average football game's, you know, college level's 3 hours. So when was the last time you had a 3-hour scrimmage?
And
I'm not saying that you need to have 3 hours worth of plays.
Right. But spread everything out over the 3 hours.
Yeah, halftime, guys sitting on the bench. How often do we practice with our comms on?
Yeah.
I do some work in the DoD space. Like those, when you train as a warfighter, like you are training for the actual event.
Mm-hmm.
And if your players can't go into the first game saying, I've been here before, then they're not gonna have the confidence to execute.
Right.
And you as a staff need to say everything has been looked at.
For our featured iTunes review of the week, we have Meta X Nerd. He says, he's not a coach, but it's still the best podcast I listen to. Even if you are not a football coach, the principles of building a team and a culture are applicable to developing any number of well-running organizations. Coaching is management, and listening to this podcast has added a number of tools to my management toolbox. Thank you for tuning in, MetaX. Leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and you can be featured in next week's highlight episode. Thank you for tuning into the Coach and Coordinator Podcast. If you enjoy the content on our show, please don't hesitate to like, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review for our podcast on iTunes. Also, don't forget to check out our systems for skill development in blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. Follow us daily on Twitter for content and interaction at FBDEVCoach. That's FBDevCoach. And be sure to check out X's and O's and analysis at blogs.usafootball.com.